The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
This is Senior Solutions with Eric Stewart on 105.9 FM and AM 630, WMAL.
Welcome to the Senior Solutions Real Estate Show, which is brought to you by the Senior Solutions team at the Eric Stewart Group. And hey, if you've missed an episode, you have to leave in the middle or find any information we talk about today helpful to a friend or a family member, send them to our website, ericstewartgroup.com, or find Seniors Solutions on Spotify. Spotify is a downloadable app you can download to your smartphone and listen today. What is your biggest fear in life? Sometimes I think that my biggest fear is the fear of death. Sometimes I think it's the fear of not having enough that seems to drive me in ways. I was speaking recently at a retirement community about that fear of not having enough, relating a story of how my father, who was born in 1928, is now 90 years of age, and how as he grew up, he did not have that much. His father was a physician, but my father grew up with my grandfather spending a good bit of his time in Hawaii while my dad was in California. My father ended up going to Hawaii in 1943 when he was 15 years of age by barge with destroyers around the barge, and then arriving and going to Punahou while my grandfather ran the Shriners Hospital in Oahu. As an orthopedic surgeon, he traveled to Molokai and took care of the lepers. My grandfather was a modest man and had modest means, though he was a doctor, so he had enough to eat. We had plenty to eat, but going through the Great Depression when my father was so little, it impressed him. And somehow he has impressed upon me, even though my father was also a physician. He was the chief of staff at Columbia Hospital for Women. There's something that is passed on. We pass on these internal beliefs about ourselves that we are not enough or we do not have enough. And that fear of not being enough and always feeling like I have to do something more to be enough actually causes a tremendous amount of depression. It causes a lot of fear in our lives and keeps us from fully engaging in friendship with other people. Just knowing I am enough in who I am. I'm enough. God made me who I am, and I do not need to live in fear for what He has made. I was made in His image. That doesn't make me perfect, but I don't need to walk in fear, and I don't need to be afraid of not having enough. I have plenty. The biggest fear, that fear of death, often begins when we're little, maybe losing a pet or a parent or grandparent who passed away. Somehow that gone forever aspect. I'm a blessed man. I've got a father who's 90, a mother's 83, and they've been married for 60 years, and I haven't lost either of them to that permanence, but I know that day will come, and they know that day will come, and that day will come for me as well. Sometime that concept of futurelessness, that idea that somehow maybe where I'm at today, I'm not going to improve on who I'm going to be. We often will think of, I want to get better at playing a game of golf or tennis and whatnot, and sometimes the physical challenge that we face because we no longer can do something takes away our ability to enjoy something that we long held as a great desire. Summoning the courage to put aside those fears and come to terms with our mortality, face the challenge, and still have hope that we can get up and now find a new challenge, a new way to live our lives. I want to chat briefly with you about five ways that you can overcome. And I want you to think of conquering this fear as a process. It's not an endpoint. You don't turn a key in the slot and then you no longer face it. It is something that you remain alert to. I recall doing some studies at one point in my life about a challenge that I was facing, something that I didn't like in my character. And I wanted to change that area, and I kept thinking I would discover a magic moment. I would come to an aha, and like, okay, I no longer will do that, like not biting my fingernails any longer, or, you know, no longer being afraid to eat broccoli or something, some immediate change and challenge would end because of this decision. But instead, I recognize that, no, I'm never going to be perfect. I always will have to walk through my life being alert. This is a part of the challenge, and it's a part of what makes me human.
Winners and losers are two of a kind. You know it's that way.
We will not attain ever complete and utter victory in every area of our lives. But to know that eases our fears, to recognize that, okay, I just have to face this reality. I have to remind myself that I'm enough, because there are times in my life when, in spite of my success in real estate, doing radio, having a wife and five kids, I still feel like I'm not enough. And I still have to recognize that and go, you know, Lord, you made me who I am. I want to take that fear and lay it down. You know, allow yourself, number two, that humble, that humble unknowingness, okay, which is, you know, it's a good word. And I like nextavenue.org put an article together to hit on this. And they coined that phrase, humble unknowingness, that unknowingness it's just a natural part. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen. We get excited. We make plans for our day, but keeping our hands open, you know, like, just day to day, recognizing I walked into the Whole Foods the other day for a quick jaunt to grab some sushi pre-made, a bottle of kombucha, which is a tea, and some forager chips. Okay. Thinking 5 minutes, I'll be at the express lane. I'll be out in 5 minutes. Done. It took me 20 minutes because guess what? One of the items that I was buying, the price was wrong. And we had to go through this process. Now, I was in a hurry, and so it was tempting for me. But, you know, I treated it open-handedly. Okay, I can't control this situation. Something's going to happen. Something may happen along the way each day of our lives. We might have to face challenges in our lives and just deal with that. Thirdly, is just that death is just an inescapable reality of our lives from the day that we're born. You know, Lord willing, I'll be 110 when I'm past. I'm 54 now, that I'm only halfway through my life. I don't know. I think it's important that we embrace the reality of our lives, but and recognize the importance of physical well-being. We can't outsmart, outrun, or outmaneuver that reality. That's somewhat futile. There's a lot that resides in our DNA, and there's a lot that resides in how we take care of ourselves. Whether we're gluttonous and we eat too much and we feed ourselves to keep ourselves going or make ourselves feel better, medicating ourselves with food or alcohol or other things. You know, it's important we face this honestly. Hey, you know, actually, I face this myself. I've walked through processes where I had to come to reality about doing those things in my own life. And I still do. It's like I see, okay, I like to go to the gym. I enjoy working out at the gym, and I'm enjoying that health and stability and the balance that I'm getting by being in a gym. By the way, going to a gym means this to me. It means that I go into a class where there are 20 to 30 other people, and there's a leader of the class who's guiding us all through the process of building up a variety of different muscles in our bodies. That's what going to the gym to me. It's not just appearing at the gym to become Charles Atlas or Arnold Schwarzenegger or some other great athlete. I'm going in there actually to build strength into my body so when I climb the stairs, I'm not weak. I'm not breathing heavy. But to get there, I will need to breathe heavy. I made the decision to climb Mount Rainier last summer, and when I was first starting to get ready, I was breathing heavy. I wasn't jogging, I was walking. I was nowhere near 6 weeks out of making that climb. But that's a part of the process, just that breathing heavy. I was laughing at myself, thinking, okay, you know, this is just the way it goes. But I built up endurance. And what a great character quality endurance is. We love endurance when we see it in other people. We have that ability to endure. We need to embrace that uncertainty, choose to believe in that we can make a change in our lives and then take steps. Baby steps, fine. But make the steps, make a goal, and go after it. Focus on what you believe does go on after you've passed. Number four, if you believe, like I believe, that my faith, that I'm saved by my faith, that I know where I'm going to go, and I'm at peace with that. I don't live in the fear of what will happen to me after I'm gone. I just don't like the idea of being gone because it's all I've ever known is where I am right now. Number five, remember to pay your life forward. Make strides by caring for other people around you. One change in my life, one way for me to prune my life and pass back and pay forward, is for me to spend more time with other real estate agents, giving them knowledge that I've gained over 30 years. It's that good time right now for you to do that also. And guess what? This is the process of a lifetime. We deal with this over the course of our whole lives, and that's okay. When I return, 7 ways to use your home equity for retirement income.
Hello, this is Stuart Rosenthal from the Beacon Newspapers. Join us today from noon to 4 p.m. at Springfield Town Center in Springfield, Virginia, for the Beacon's 50 Plus Expo. From limestone sculptures and stained glass to photos from around the world to paintings and poems, more than 900 entries poured into our Celebration of the Arts, our first online art competition for amateurs over 50. The winners and their artworks will be honored today at the Beacon's 50 Plus Expo at Springfield Town Center, and also in 2 weeks, on Sunday, October 14th, from noon to 4 p.m. at our expo at the Silver Spring Civic Center in downtown Silver Spring, Maryland. These free events are open to the public and will feature health screenings, flu and pneumonia vaccines, door prizes, and entertainment. Government agencies, nonprofits, and local businesses, including Eric Stuart, will be present to answer questions about healthcare, housing, financial planning, travel, fitness, senior services, and more. For more information, call The Beacon at 301-949-9766 or visit thebeaconnewspapers.com. And we'll see you at The Beacon's 50 Plus Expos.
Now, back to Senior Solutions on WMAL. Here's your host, Eric Stuart.
Big house, big car, backseat, full bar. Houseboat won't float, the bank won't tote to know. Too much stuff.
Recently in Forbes magazine, I was reading about, from questions that readers asked Forbes about retirement planning and how they could potentially use their home equity. Now, being in the real estate business, having seen innumerable foreclosures over time, I've seen reverse mortgages that have gone great and some that have gone terribly. I'm speaking as a real estate agent who's got experience, who understands from this side of the real estate business what to tell you, I think. Now, I'm not an advisor. I'm not a financial advisor, so I'm not here to advise you on what is good or bad about what's being said from that side, but just simply, I'll give you my cautions based on what I've seen, okay? So if you're a late starter to retirement planning, should you count your house or the equity in your house as an asset in your retirement plan is one of the questions. So, and the answer is, if you're playing catch up on your retirement planning, you need to maximize every asset you have to make yourself ready for retirement, make it a reality. But in general, financial planners don't count your equity in your house when constructing a retirement income plan. Practically speaking, you're going to need somewhere that you'll be living, right? So financial planners, they look at it as a personal asset, but not necessarily something that will drive income to you in your retirement living. Remember, too, that your home is a very special asset in the eyes of the IRS because you can use up to $100,000 of your home equity for doing improvements to your home. And if you decide you're going to age in place, and let me plug for just a moment, our Aging in Your Best Place seminar, which is October 16th in Maryland, October 17th in Virginia. Space is filling up. This is free. This is not the first time we've given a lecture, but it's our first time doing the lecture on our own and not in other people's venues. So we're the ones guiding this lecture, 9:30 in the morning, October 16th in Maryland, October 17th in Virginia, on how to age in your best place. There, we will discuss what are the 7 areas of wellness what are the 7 potential places you can live, how you can address the stuff you have, help your spouse do the same, and wrestle control so that you can free yourself up, again, to stay where you are, rent someplace, retirement community, multi-generational housing. We'll cover all of those options. To register for free, go to ericstewartgroup.com. Okay, that's ericstewartgroup.com to register. You can buy a house, you can live in it, you can sell it, you can pay no taxes on that, up to $500,000 for a couple and up to $250,000 for a single if you've lived in your home for 2 out of 5 years as your principal residence and you haven't depreciated it over time, okay? Now, that's a really great benefit. You can do that every 24 months, by the way. So you could buy a house, move into it for $250,000, Lord willing, if it went up to $750,000 in 2 years, which would be phenomenal, you could sell it for $750,000, take all the gain out of that, go buy another house, do the same thing if you wanted to. How can you turn your home equity into retirement income? When you retire, you can downsize and invest the difference between your new place and the place you've sold. Because once you stop working, you sell your house, you buy something smaller and less expensive, you're going to take those gains and then you're going to turn them and invest them into income building wealth, which means, let's say you had $100,000 left after buying a smaller place that you can invest with a good financial advisor. That person could take your money, and if they invested appropriately based on market average market returns over a long period of time, they might see 4 to 7% return, which is pretty solid. If you knew you had $100,000 that was spitting off $4,000 to $7,000 in income each year, you now have an income-generating vehicle that adds to whatever retirement income you have from your retirement savings or from your pension, right? So that's one option. You could sell your house also, and you might just move to a rental, put all the money into a rental. So you're paying, for instance, let's say you're in a home where you have no mortgage, but you pull $600,000 out of it, and you decide instead, I'm going to go rent and spend $2,000 a month in rent. Remember, you have $600,000. So that $600,000 is a nest egg, and if you're getting, just take 5%. If you got 5% return on $600,000, that would be $30,000, right? And if you take $30,000 and you divide that by 12, which is the months in the year, you're generating $2,500 a month in income. After taxes, it's probably going to be pretty close to what you're paying in rent. So essentially, you're giving up your house, you have this money that you've cashed out on, you've invested, and it's now paying the rent. And that gives you flexibility, which is something you don't when you have your home fixed in place. You could sell your house and you could move abroad. You might consider Costa Rica, which I've heard is a wonderful place to go to. It's actually one of the few places in our world that does not have a standing army, from what I understand, because there's no need. There's just a culture there where there's no need. I guess I have a kind of a hard time imagining that because of the world that we live in today, but apparently it's that way. It's a pretty exotic place, fresh fruit, good place to live. And with the help of good technology like Skype, you can keep in touch with your kids. You can rent a 2-bedroom house for, guess what? $500 a month, and medical care, very affordable. Number 4, you could sell your house, invest the proceeds, and like I said before, you could live for reduced rent, or you could live with family. Okay, so there I just gave you that 4th one, live with family. So therefore, you could decide to go into multi-generational living where you and your kids share space, you share the cost of living with them, maybe you do some modifications to the home with them, and perhaps you together decide on what the rules of the household are going to be. That worked very well for a family who I helped earlier this year, actually 2 families that did that. They ended up 15, 20 years of mom and dad living with the kids, and then it was time for the family that was living with mom to move because they needed more space. And so, and it was also a pivotal point for a transition in mom's life too. Number five, you could actually sell your place and offer your services. Now, this is kind of strange, but this is what was recommended in the article. And I guess if you move into an apartment complex and you offer your services to manage the apartment complex, you can live in the apartment complex for free or a reduced rent for part-time work. Number six, you want to stay in your home and take out a reverse mortgage to tap into your equity. Now, a reverse mortgage, we see those ads from all those famous people, you know, that advise you that taking out a reverse mortgage is a great thing to do. And we see other people who report in the news about the horrors of reverse mortgages. And honestly, I don't like the name reverse mortgage because it's kind of like downsizing. It's like, who wants to go in reverse, right? I want to go forward. I want to move up, or I want to have a right size. So let's forget the name for a moment. What I want you to think about is if you are in your home and you want to stay in your home, but you've run out of income to live there, you may think about a reverse mortgage because you stay in your house and a bank will give you a portion of the value of your home, either in a lump sum or a monthly income for a period of time, after which you will get no more money out of your house, but also you'll never have a mortgage payment. So let's say you live in a $700,000 house, and based upon your age, a lender says, we'll give you $425,000 in a lump sum today, and you'll never have to pay a mortgage again. You'll have to pay the taxes on the property and the insurance, but never have to pay any money back. What they're banking on is that the value of the property will go up over time, and what you're banking on is that you can take that 4.25%, live on that 4.25%, invest that 4.25%, because you'll never have a mortgage payment. It doesn't change your day-to-day living, but you get all this money out. If you haven't saved as much as you wish you had, that may be a consideration. I'm not endorsing that, and I'm not saying it's not a good idea. It's something to check out. I definitely recommend you look at that possibility. And then the last is to rent out space in your existing home. When I went to the university for college, I was one of four young men who lived on the top two floors of a house in College Park, Maryland, for this sweet 80-year-old lady who wanted to continue living there. So we were paying her rent in her house, and she was able to continue living, and that paid for her grocery bills, etc. So there's seven ways you can tap into your home equity. All right. Think about that. Research this. Share this with your friends if you'd like. You can listen to all of our shows at ericstewartgroup.com. We are so blessed to have you as a listener. I'm grateful that each Sunday you tune in. And for those of you who can't tune in on Sunday, thanks for listening online. If you're thinking about selling or buying in the future, find out more about our seminars at ericstewartgroup.com. Sign up today or call us and we'll come out and meet with you about your upcoming move. Our toll-free number, 800-900-9104. And that's it for Senior Solutions. Join me tonight at 9:30 for Real Estate Now, right here on WMAL. You know you can hurt yourself fooling
with too much stuff. Hello, this is Stuart Rosenthal from the Beacon Newspapers. Join us today from noon to 4 p.m. at Springfield Town Center in Springfield, Virginia for the Beacon's 50 Plus Expo. From limestone sculptures and stained glass to photos from around the world to paintings and poems, more than 900 entries poured into our Celebration of the Arts, our first online art competition for amateurs over 50. The winners and their artworks will be honored today at the Beacon's 50 Plus Expo at Springfield Town Center, and also in 2 weeks, on Sunday, October 14th, from noon to 4 p.m. at our expo at the Silver Spring Civic Center in downtown Silver Spring, Maryland. These free events are open to the public and will feature health screenings, flu and pneumonia vaccines, door prizes, and entertainment. Government agencies, nonprofits, and local businesses, including Eric Stewart, will be present to answer questions about healthcare, housing, financial planning, travel, fitness, senior services, and more. For more information, call the Beacon at 301-949-9766 or visit thebeaconnewspapers.com. And we'll see you at the Beacon's 50 Plus Expos.